Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate that you listen to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and also leave us some feedback. Rate us. Give us a review. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Studio. I've got Matt Bronger with me. That's Bronger as in stronger. He will be at Helium Comedy Club, heliumcomedy.com. Tonight, he has an 8 o'clock show. That is a very good date night. I've been on a date night at Helium many times. 8 o'clock tonight, 7:30 tomorrow night, 7:30 and 10, and then Saturday night, 7:30 and 10, heliumcomedy.com. Is your show a good date night? Now I've sold that.
Yeah. You know what I mean? I never thought about it, but yeah, I think it is. I'm relatively, I would say, clean-ish. So it's nothing you got to worry about. Not too controversial. I do get into relationships. Yeah. My situation's a little odd in that I, you know, got married in my 40s.
Yeah.
Like a real success story. Yeah. But, you know, so it's like, it's just I kind of do whatever my personal stuff is. That's all. So, yeah, I would say yes. Never been asked that.
You've been to Portland before? Is this?
I grew up in Portland, man.
Oh, you're local.
Yes, sir.
Wow.
Yes, sir.
I should have sold that off the beginning.
It's all right. Yeah. I grew up in Northeast Portland, so I love coming home. And the cool thing about this weekend is I usually do, play the Aladdin or, like, a theater. I do, like, a one-nighter. But this, I'm going back to Helium and doing five shows because I got this new hour I'm working on, and you know it's great. I'm just moving things around, so it's
Grant
super
High
fun.
School.
Yes, sir. Generals.
Were you on the talent show at Grant? Did you do comedy? Or
yes, how did that... I did like assemblies. I would like come out as the coach and yell at people and stuff and stuff like that. Or that was almost like the first time I did stand up.
Really?
Other than that, I was just like an annoying actor. I was an annoying actor into my 20s.
But what's that like in front of your school? I mean, that's like, whew.
You don't think, I mean, I always was kind of, I would do plays and be like, this is just fun.
Yeah.
You don't even think, you know, like how, you know, like fools rush in. I think that's also true of children.
Yeah.
Where like kids will run out on stage. It's like we watch someone go on like America's Got Talent and they're adult and they're weighing all the options. And little girl's like, I just want to shine. Like they don't care. Yeah, they're just like a kid. They want to be their kid stuff. I think I was like that in place up until I did an assembly, and then I'm just like, oh, if I'm terrible, you know, I still have to go down the hall with all these
people.
That's it. Yeah. It's like you play a comedy club of like 2,000 people, and then you are at that comedy club for two more years hanging out with all of them.
We've got Matt Bronger in studio with us. He'll be at Helium Comedy Club. Grab a ticket for tonight's show at 8 o'clock, 7:30 and 10, Friday and Saturday night. I always ask, you know, okay, so this is something you wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
At what point in your mind did you make it?
Honestly, I think when I played, when I was on Late Show with David Letterman, and he called me over the couch, and I told him a story, and he laughed, and then... The thing with that show is they turn they're like, all right, we're done. And they're closed. And they're like, nobody move. And the lights go down.
Yeah.
And then Mr. Letterman gets up and he goes up the stairs to his office. And then the lights come back on. They're like, all right, we're good. And then people just start moving again.
Yeah.
Because
he's
so intensely private. Yeah. But I was just sitting on that couch and like, I wouldn't have moved if you put a gun to my head. And then this big hand comes over my shoulder and he was hit his Letterman's hand. I took his hand and he was like, you're very funny. And then he just went up the stairs.
Yeah.
So it's like I'm always gonna have that.
Yeah.
I was already making a living at it. I was on Mad TV at the time, and you know the dreams were coming true. But it's like you ask anyone, like just like how Jay Leno, he's like he still won't spend any of his Tonight Show money.
Yeah.
He says, but like we all have that fear that it's gonna be gone tomorrow. So that was that thing where I'm like, no one can ever take this from me. You know, I've got this the rest of my life,
no matter what. That, to you, was the validation of this guy's knows what he's talking
Someone
about.
Someone who I'd looked up to forever and I thought was funny, but he was always just like unshakably him. You know, like I love people who are just like, look, I'm me. You can like me or hate me, but I'm me. So that's that. You know, like, and so I think some of the funniest people are those people, you know? So like, I was just kind of like... I can't say there was ever a time where I'm like, you know, I did it, Ma, top of the world. But like, if there was one, that was it.
That's memorable. Without that stands out. Yeah. You do some impersonations of people. Have you ever had somebody not like an impersonation? Well, or
it's funny, man. I have gotten this question a few times, and it's because I was on Mad TV and I was one of two white males, the entire cast. We had to cover a lot of pop cultural ground.
Right, right.
Like, honestly, if people are listening, you go to my Instagram right now, we just put up a Throwback Thursday of me doing John Mayer.
Yeah.
First up, Google me.
Yeah.
Then Google John Mayer.
Right.
And look at us. Like, I mean, I look like John Mayer if he got a severe beating and then they drowned him and they pulled him out of the water. And then, like, then they sat him in a chair, put a guitar on him, but he's dead and it's me. Like, I don't look anything like him, but it was a toss up between me and Eric Price. And Eric Price is like a smaller guy and John Mayer's a taller guy, but it's like. The funnest thing for me was back when you do a sketch and they put it right on YouTube.
Yeah.
The comments. I honestly would just crack a beer and just laugh because everyone's like, this guy looks nothing like all these fans, all these young women losing their minds, you know, because they were in love with him and they were having sexual fantasies about him. And then this a-hole comes on and is like.
But you play like you did William Shatner and Charlie Sheen and Mayer and Jimmy Kimmel. Yep. And so you do this wide range of like. That you have to be good at what you're doing if you're going to do that.
I was okay. I was never. I mean, I know people who can just like, like, oh my God, that's him. But it's kind of like you just kind of find a mannerism of how they were. Yeah. And honestly, like doing Charlie Sheen, I think it was more because they wanted Bobby Lee to play an Asian prostitute with Charlie Sheen.
Right.
If I'm honest, you know. And so I, you know, it was just me and Bobby in drag, and we're just. You know, on this reality show. So it was kind of like.
What's the off camera like on a show like that when you have Bobby Lee, who's just, he is what he is. Like,
yeah. I've seen Bobby's genitals more times than probably any other man because he would just walk around and drop his pants. And it's like, you know, he's like a baby. He's like a teddy bear that somebody shaved. So you don't really care that much. But the only time I was ever like, dude, and because I was like, you know, new fish. I was like, well, you know, that was my first season. And so he was just like, you know, he's the big dog on the block. And so he just sat down across from me and I'm eating my lunch and he just, you know, takes his junk out. And I'm like, Bobby, I'm having a salad. Right. And then he kind of snapped into reality and was like, oh, yeah, okay. And he got up and left.
Yeah.
And so from then on, he didn't really do it much. But it's just, that guy just likes taking his clothes off, you know?
Matt Bronger is in studio with us 8 o'clock tonight at Helium Comedy Club, 7:30 and 10, Friday and Saturday nights, two shows each night. Who made you laugh growing up?
George Carlin. When I was a kid, I used to play his albums. Yeah. Richard Pryor. But I used to, you know, I mean, back then you had Comedy Central was kind of like the comedy channel, and they would just have clips from every... stand-up club across the country, and so it would just pop up.
Watch it.
And you'd go to school, and we'd all, you know, riff or say the jokes to each other, and like, oh, who was that? Who was that guy? Who's that gal? But I remember also growing up when, like, Phil Hartman was on Saturday Night Live. Yeah. So, like, Phil Hartman's always one of those ones that made me laugh so much, I didn't even think about it until I became, like, a grown adult. Like, I don't think men become men until 35, if I'm honest with
you.
So, like, I, you know, at that age, then someone was like, Phil Hartman, I was like, oh, my God. Been in front of me my whole life. How did I not just think of Phil Hart? Like, that dude just always destroyed me.
With social media now, I wrestle with this as a sports writer. I'll be at a game and I'll see something funny or something interesting and I'll tweet it. And then later I'll go, damn it, I should have saved that for the column. How do you balance Twitter with your act when you see something great?
Yeah, it's kind of like you, I will say, I try to keep my Twitter just humorous, so I keep the followers I have and gain more, because I do feel like, put it this way, I have a lot of political feelings and things like that, but the more I barf those out, it's just me spitting in the wind.
Yeah.
It's not going to do, no one's going to read my feed and go, man, I thought the exact opposite. Now I feel like him.
Yeah.
It's like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
So I do try to keep it funny, but yeah, there's like an awesome bit in my mind. I'll save it for the stage for the most part.
What's it like for you when you come home, you come back to Portland? I mean, do you catch up with a bunch of people, or is this a business trip where you're like, look, I'm just here, and after Saturday, I'm going to Raleigh, North Carolina for next week?
Sure.
And, you know, is this a business trip, or do you come here and catch up with everybody?
First and foremost, it's a business trip. I want to make sure everyone's entertained. You know, I'm not going to be in the bars all day, you know, hitting Mary's and Sassy's, unless you want to do that later, John. I mean,
What's Mary's?
No one's going to know. What's Mary's? You in Portland? It's the oldest one, and it's female-owned. There's a free ad, Mary's. So I'm here just to give people like a show.
Yeah.
That's first and foremost. But yeah, I'm going to see my parents. I'm going to see people, a couple of people I grew up with. But I mean, you know, you get to a certain age, you're like, I have about 5 friends.
But do your parents say, Matt's coming to town this week? Mm-hmm. And now you got 14 people going, sure. Matt's here.
Yeah.
That you probably were wish you could just be stealth, fly in, fly out.
Yeah, I'm actually lucky. There aren't a lot of people that there were that it used to be that kind of fallen by the wayside that would be like, can I get tickets?
Right.
You know, a lot of them have moved away. That was a funny thing. My mom used to just, you know, go to church and be like, so Matt's playing this weekend. And then everyone's like, oh, can I get on the list? And you're like, I got to cap this list.
Right.
Guys.
Yeah, you can get on the list by going to heliumcomedy.com.
Yeah.
Paying for the ticket.
Click on the ticket and your credit card number, and that's how you get on your list. Yeah, but it is, and then afterward you hear the whole, like, the feedback, which my mom has stopped giving me, which, you know, never, what it always was like, I thought your son was fine. Maybe he could do without some of the cursing, but one thing that a person before him said that and it's just like, I don't care, honestly.
Yeah.
It's their act is their act and mine is mine.
You know? If your parents are in the crowd, does the act change?
No.
Same act.
I'll give you an example. I have a joke about, like, my mom. I'm not going to do this so I can basically say it, but, like, how I want to get to the age where I just stop learning to mess with my kids, you know? And I don't have any yet, but, like, you know, I think that's probably a prime joy in life where you're kind of, like, you let your kid teach you how to use Spotify, but you're not listening. You're just kind of, going through whatever in your mind, and you're like, you know, you do it. And you walk away smiling and whistling. It's the best, just a frustrated kid. My parents have refused to learn how to text. Like, my dad thinks every text is a letter. He ends every text with dad. Like, I know who this is.
Yeah.
Stop doing that. We've been texting for 15 minutes. My mom does something that's horrifying where she writes her own rules on the rules of technology.
And okay. Things.
And so she'll write me something funny.
Yeah.
But probably something dark. My mom's really darkly hilarious. She'll be like, have fun hiking in the canyon. Don't fall in and die, you two. You know, just what if we did?
Right.
But, you know, then instead of writing, you know, the rule is let someone know you're kidding, write kidding or LOL.
Yeah.
But my mom writes one word, all caps, grin. Grin. You know how horrifying that is to see on your phone?
Yeah.
Like, like my stomach made a fist. Grin. Like, my mother's the Joker.
Yeah.
If you're in an alleyway and you see grin spray painted on the wall, you're going to run.
Because
the grin gang is like, who grins in any novel? The murderer.
Yeah.
No one good grins.
Matt Bronger with us. He will be at Helium Comedy Club as part of this worldwide tour that he's on. Where do you go after North Carolina? You go North Carolina, then you go to New Jersey, Missouri.
Yep.
After Missouri, Massachusetts, you get homesick at all? You like being on the road?
I go back and forth. So I'll
fly. So you go home for a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I fly home on Sunday. I'm in LA for about 3-4 days. Then I fly to Raleigh. So
will you play at a local club? Will you go?
Oh yeah,
I'll do that.
I'm a comedy store guy.
Yeah,
yeah.
So how does that work? So if I'm in LA midweek and you're there and I walk in and you're on stage, how did you get on stage?
Basically, For clubs, I have the Comedy Store, I have the Hollywood Improv, and I have the Laugh Factory. And what I'll do is I just email them all and a couple other places and just go, here are my avails. Mm-hmm. And then they'll email me back. You know, I do that a week in advance.
Yeah.
Then come, you know, that Sunday or Monday, I get a text or an email saying, all right, the Comedy Store, there's the main room and the original room. So I'll get a text that says OR 10:30, meaning original room 10:30. So then you put your week together. So a night off is, I won't say like super rare, but you know, it's just like working out in the gym. You know, it's funny. I'll give you a weird example. Paul Mooney, who was like a writer with like Richard Pryor and stuff and like a legendary guy. I saw this thing where it was like in conversation with, and this is back. Remember the Michael Richards thing?
Yep.
Where he had that meltdown and yelled the N-word and, you know, a great career move. So someone asked Paul, who's black, they were like, do you think Michael Richards is racist? And he was like, you know, I don't. I think he just stopped doing comedy for 20 years and tried it again and ate it and flipped out and had a meltdown. And the analogy he said was like, it's kind of like gunfighting. You got to do it all the time. You hang up your gun belt, come back, try to put it back on, you get shot in the back, which I was like, that's a weird and loose analogy.
But
you know, but at the same time, it's you. It'd be like being a boxer and being like, you know what? I'm not going to work out for a month.
Yeah, let me just try.
And then just get your clock cleaned on stage. It's me. I have to go up at least a couple times a week It's really just staying loose.
Yeah.
It's just you gotta.
You're sharp.
It's like sports.
This is sparring. You get to spar midweek sparring, and then you get in there on the weekends and the big shows.
Yeah. Sometimes it's stretching. Sometimes it's weightlifting. Yeah. Sometimes it's cardio. But it's kind of like it's all something.
And I noticed that those performances, a lot of times the comic who's going to come on will be hanging out in the back of the room.
Mm-hmm.
And what's that person doing? What are you doing back there? Is that like the warm up area? Or are you just kind of watching somebody?
Watch. I feel like you really lose a little bit of yourself and your humor and a little bit of, I would say, your edge if you don't still enjoy comedy.
Yeah.
Because I've been around people, and when I started out in Chicago, there was a guy be in the back of the room, been doing a long time, and someone would get a good line off, and this guy would just go, funny. And he would say it like a scientist is like, that is an amino acid.
Right.
Yeah, but do you like looking in the microscope at all? Yeah. You know, it's that thing where I have comics that I'll watch, and you have that natural jealousy where you're like, ah, oh, darn, I wish I came up with that joke. But at the same time, you're laughing because it's a good joke.
Yeah.
Like I love being at shows where I'm not doing anything. I'm not doing any shows. I'm not, sometimes you have that itch of like, oh, there's a hot crowd. We jump up, but you're like, I'm just going to have a beer.
Yeah.
Just enjoy.
Just
have
watch
a laugh.
It. Enjoy it.
Yeah.
All right. When we end this interview, the lights are going to go down. You're going to need to sit right where you are. Yeah, if I come behind you, I'll give you the handshake.
I'm going to itch you.
All right. Matt Bronger. Catch him tonight, 8 o'clock, 7:30 and 10 on Friday night, 7:30 and 10 on Saturday night, heliumcomedy.com. Welcome home, Matt.
Thank you, John.
All right. Leave it here. Today is the anniversary, 30-year anniversary of the Loma Prieta earthquake. That was the earthquake that struck during the World Series. Remember the Giants and the A's, the Bay Bridge series? I was a Giants fan. Didn't last very long. Jose Canseco and Dave Stewart and Mark McGuire snuffed the Giants out, but the Giants had bigger things on their mind. Earthquake, people's lives. The A's were busy playing baseball. Come on, give me a break. I do remember that, though, that during that World Series broadcast 30 years ago. It is the 25-year anniversary of Kenny Wheaton's big play, the pick, intercepted Damon Heward. I have a column on Oregon Live today that takes a little different twist for the NCAA, who is investigating the likeness and image and endorsement possibilities for athletes that are moving forward. I got a little twist on the pick. And if Kenny Wheaton had intercepted that pass, let's say 5 years from now instead of 25 years ago, he might have been able to capitalize on the pick by getting an endorsement deal that would have kept him around for his senior year. I took a little dive into that today on Oregon Live. Take a look at it if you are near a browser, website, the app, whatever. And by the way, I was in the elevator the other day with somebody who said, oh, I don't read the paper anymore. And I said, well, what do you mean? He says, well, I read you, but I don't read the paper. And I said, well, how do you read me if you don't read the paper? He said, I don't read the physical newspaper. And I said, yeah, but you're still reading me if you're reading Oregon Live. And I think that's something newspapers have done a bad job of. I think we've done a bad job as an industry of reminding people that if you're not actually reading the newspaper, you're still reading the newspaper when you go to Oregon Live. When I first got to the Oregonian, I had like 250,000 people that were reading me. I have 5 million now who read me in a calendar year. The industry's done a bad job of reminding people that that it's alive and that it's doing well. Like the financials might have changed, but it's like a Pez dispenser and candy. Candy didn't go away when the Pez dispenser became less popular.
The one thing you absolutely need to know today.
Look at it.
Where?
Down there.
Must be.
The Big Splash. Brought to you by Sport Clips. Cut the wait. Download the new Sport Clips Haircuts app and check in.
Well, the annual NBA.com General Manager Survey is out. Clippers and Bucks. being picked as the teams to beat. By the way, 3% of the general managers who were surveyed by NBA.com picked your Trailblazers to win it all.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.